Welcome back to Interactive Wrestling Radio. On the Newsmaker line with us right now is a gentleman who's going to be appearing on the big event this weekend, Saturday Night Superfight, MLW's first ever pay-per-view event. He is the former MLW World Champion, Filthy Tom Lawler. Mr. Lawler, are you with us?
I am, hopefully. Are you with me, or are you asleep? Did I put you out already?
Nope, I'm still awake, hoping this one goes well. So here we are. Like I said, we're at the weekend of the big pay-per-view that I know has been circled on MLW's calendar since it was announced. And it's a huge event happening at the Cicero Stadium up in Chicago. Thoughts heading into Saturday night's big pay-per-view?
Well, if you take a look at the show from top to bottom, it's stacked. It's awesome. It's got everything you could ask for, everything you could hope for in a professional wrestling card. The main event, L.A. Park and Jacob Fatu, will be insane, I'm sure, on many levels. If you want to talk about insanity, Vance Warner, Jimmy Havoc, BCS 666 in a Stairway to Hell match. And then, you know, you've got the flip side of all of that, mm-hmm. violence, and a different kind of violence, as you'll have, of course, Timothy Thatcher, who called myself out, getting his comeuppance, getting his beating on Saturday night.
Very good. Timothy Thatcher, I'm looking forward to seeing that match. Obviously, like I said, it's one of the top two matches on the card currently listed, so I guess you guys are going to be pretty high up on there, as you would be. Thoughts heading into facing Timothy Thatcher, and what do you think of his work? Because we've seen a lot of him in Evolve over the years.
Yeah, I'm a fan of what Timothy Thatcher does in the ring. Obviously, he is a man of my own heart, a wrestler at heart, a traditional style competitor, which I absolutely love. He's hard-nosed. He's gonna hit me as hard as he can and probably take whatever I can dish out. He's going to try to rip me limb from limb. And that's exactly what I want when I get in there. I don't want somebody who's going to try to run from the action. I want somebody who's going to bring it. And you mentioned Evolve and watching Timothy Thatcher there for years. Well, I can tell you that before I made my foray back into the wrestling world years ago, when WrestleMania was in Santa Clara, California, I was at the Evolve show watching Timothy Thatcher compete. And I thought to myself, that's a guy that I want to fight one day. And lo and behold, let's take a look. 4 or 5 years later, here I am. MLW Super Fight this Saturday, me and Timothy Thatcher.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm going to tell you, I became a big fan of yours. I'm not the hugest MMA fan. I'm going to be honest. I watch, but I'm not like obsessed. When I heard you complaining that you were not featured in the video game, and you made the reference to WWE No Mercy and somebody creating a character for you in that game, for the Nintendo 64, I popped so huge, and I became a big fan of you from that. Obviously, you're a big wrestling fan from way back.
Yeah. As long back as I can remember, I used to, my grandmother lived next door to me, and I would I remember watching, I'd get home from school, I would watch ESPN, they would have Global Wrestling for a time, and they had USWA. Yes. There was always a block of wrestling on there. And I remember almost every Saturday night eating dinner at their house and then rushing down the 100-foot path back to my house in order to catch, hopefully, WCW Saturday night if it wasn't preempted by a Braves game. So, as long back as I can remember, professional wrestling was always basically what I gravitated towards. And then when I was 11, I saw the second UFC, right after it happened, and I was hooked on that as well. So I don't know exactly what it is about, Mortal Kombat that draws me to it, but there's definitely something there. There's definitely, an innate feeling that I need to be involved in this sort of thing. So
we're about a year apart in age, and you might appreciate this story. A friend of mine introduced me to UFC back in 1995, maybe 1996, and he convinced our French teacher, who was a hapless newbie teacher, that UFC stood for Ultimate French Championship. And we watched the entire tape of the UFC 2 pay-per-view, the same one you saw. So that was my introduction to UFC as well. So kind of a weird connection there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And one of them, somehow that led me to fighting, and I'm not quite sure how it impacted you on your...
I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of MMA, but I don't have... My eidetic memory is only good for wrestling. Yeah. If I used it for good, it wouldn't be any... I wouldn't be able to use my memory for anything else.
Somehow, whenever I saw in UFC 2, I'll tell you what really, really drew me to the UFC was watching Keith Hackney punch Joseon in the balls repeatedly in one of their fights. And I thought to myself, if I can be in a fighting situation and that is not looked down upon and frowned upon, people are loving that, that's where I want to be.
Awesome. What do you think of, you know, obviously we're at the precipice of a lot of things happening right now. We got Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar happening on a WWE event this Thursday. And, you know, come from Saudi Arabia, that's a rematch from a UFC event. What do you think of that? What do you think of, you know, doing a match in a WWE ring that we've seen a shoot fight of in a UFC octagon?
I haven't had too much time to think about it, honestly, because it happened so quickly, you know. It's been like less than a month buildup. It's been a few week buildup. It seems like Cain was kind of thrown into the situation haphazardly. And, you know, there just hasn't been – I don't think there hasn't been the build for it that I would like to see or that they could have done with longer time. I think it's just been rushed. And I don't think that – like, I think Kane's going to be fine in the match. We've seen him wrestle already. And granted, it's a completely different style of wrestling than what we've seen him do in AAA with, you know, Black Taurus and Killer Cross and some of the other people. But I'm sure he's going to be fine when he gets out there. I don't know – it's going to be different because they're going to be in Saudi Arabia where the crowd reacts differently than a home, you know, U.S. soil WWE crowd. So they may be quiet to the majority of the match, whereas in the U.S. they'd, you know, be more vocal. And maybe that'll help him. Maybe that'll hinder him. I don't know. It's very interesting, though.
It is. It's interesting to see.
Yeah, you also have Tyson Fury, too, right? Like, I love combat sports, and we've got Tyson Fury taking on Braun Strowman, and that's an intriguing matchup, to say the least. So, if nothing else, I'm morbidly curious about how, you know, Tyson Fury will do, how Cain Velasquez will do. Hell, I'm curious about how Ken Shamrock's going to do in Impact. You know, there's like...
Right,
MMA guys floating around everywhere, and
yeah,
it's very odd time, you know. Like, what's Ken Shamrock?
That was actually exactly. That was my next question. I was going to ask you. You know, you see Ken Shamrock now in Impact Wrestling as well. So there's UFC, and not only UFC workers, not just guys that happen to be in UFC, but guys who were high on the card. You know, marquee guys from MMA in the wrestling world, yourself included. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? And do you think that the appeal, it worked for you and me that we both love MMA and WWE and you know, wrestling and all that above all else. But would the MMA guys who maybe don't get wrestling, would they be sucked into this the way that wrestling fans are willing to accept MMA?
Yeah, like, for all the people who have been successful, there's also been plenty of people who have not been successful whatsoever, you know, trying to make their way into the wrestling world. So I think it's more a case of the people who make it, you know, are in the public eye, and there's plenty of people who float under the radar who never do get their opportunity. And it may be because people just view them as an MMA person. Maybe they don't put the time into pro wrestling. Maybe they don't really even understand pro wrestling, because certainly that's an issue too. But like, there's something that you cannot overstate when it comes to having an MMA background. It lends credibility. It lends legitimacy. And, I mean, I'll be real honest with you. I would much rather be in the ring with somebody who knows how to pull a punch but could also take my head off, because they're going to be able to recognize if something has landed, you know, if they've gone too far, essentially, in the context of the match. So when... You know, I see mixed martial artists who are, you know, who are skilled fighters, not just, you know, bums off the street with a couple of amateur fights, but skilled fighters get into professional wrestling. There's like no doubt in my mind that for the most part, physically, they'll be all right. But like I said, you know, there's plenty of people who either, you know, never make it further along in their wrestling career who did well in MMA. And there's plenty of people who have matches that you just never hear about again.
Absolutely. And we're going to get back to MLW in just a sec. But I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on Josh Barnett's promotion with KOs and knockouts and countouts as the finish? You know, it's a different style of wrestling. What do you think of that? Could that catch on?
Well, I've also, like, I've competed now in, I did Matt Riddle Bloodsport, which is the first iteration. Then I did Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 2. I also wrestled Douglas James at a FSW show here in Vegas, put on by Killer Cross, called Natural Killers, which was, you know, KO submission, like I said. And I just competed against Chris Dickinson in a KO or submission only contest for Prestige Wrestling at the end of last month. Right. So it's something that I'm actually trying to do more of. There's been, like, every blood sport show that's happened, there's been small kind of changes in the rules or how, you know, how the matches go down. So I think it's going to continue to evolve. There was talk, I think, about using 10 counts in the past, or maybe even bringing the ropes back and having rope breaks and kind of like a point system like UWFI. But I think that taking the ropes away and having that kind of setting is something different. And it's weird. Like, if you go to indie shows and you talk about like a match with no ropes, people will refer to it as like a blood sport style match. You know, like I also did one with Simon Grimm in MLW where they took the ropes off. So, you know, so it's that, like, the blood sport name obviously was a great use by GCW when they did it a few years ago. And I think that, like, the marketing behind it is going to help with that style. You know, I think people will, like, look at them as a trendsetter. But like I said, I've been trying to do more of those types of matches. They existed before Bloodsport. They're going to exist, you know, forever. So the more different rule sets that I get to kind of fight under, the better off for me. You know, I would love to do European rounds matches, all holds barred matches, whatever you can throw at me, I'm into it.
Absolutely. All right. So back to MLW. When you decided that you were going to set your feet onto wrestling more so than MMA, what made MLW the right choice for you? What jumped out about what they do that made you think this is where I need to be?
Well, I mean, I haven't, like, taken MMA off the plate. It's still, I train every day. It's still something that I consider myself active in. But MLW came around at, you know, a perfect timing for me as I was kind of on the tail end of dealing with my UFC career. I was getting back into the wrestling world, and they were also, like, restarting at that time. So it was, you know, it was great to link up with them and be able to kind of grow along with the promotion over the past few years. And, you know, virtually in any instance, in any sport, anything in life, timing is of the essence. Timing is virtually everything. And, you know, I think my time with MLW is, you know, proof of that. You know, basically I was trying to get back into a sport that I had been out of for 10 years, and MLW was trying to get back into a game that they had kind of been out of for years. And I had been an MLW fan when I was younger. I lived in Florida. I had Sunshine Network. And MLW was featured, you know, pretty well on that station on the weekends, late nights. So I always loved Satoshi Kojima. you know, I was a fan of MLW back in the day as well. So it just worked out really perfectly.
You mentioned shots to the balls earlier on, and I should have asked this then, but I'll ask you now. Have you had a chance to see Jake Hager's Bellator fight yet?
I saw the first two. I was actually live for the second one that he won, but I just saw highlights, or I guess what you could call highlights, maybe lowlights, of the fight from this past weekend. But yeah, I was
what do you think?
Doing
what?
Commentary on UFC Fight Pass for an MMA show of my own. So
Awesome, awesome. You have a perfect voice for that, by the way.
Thank you, thank you. I know it's not a easy job, but I'd like to think of, you know, basically I've been an MMA fan my whole life, so whether I have a journalism degree or, you know, what have you, I've been involved in this stuff for a long time. I've done commentary for years and years, dating back to the mid-2000s. I actually did some commentary on, lo and behold, Sun Sport Network, so, you know, it all kind of comes full circle, but... Yeah, thanks.
You're very welcome. Did you think those blows were low by Jake Hager?
Oh, the second one was definitely low. and that's the one that, you know, took the guy out of the fight. The other thing is with a low blow, I mean, you can't, like, overestimate the pain. Because I've been clipped, you know, where it looks like you barely get touched. And that's, you know, more painful than anything else. And then I've been, you know, hit flush in the balls and... had it not really affect me, so.
All right. So we interviewed Tony Schiavone recently, and he was very high on yourself, as well as Jacob Fatu, who you lost the MLW championship to. What is your thoughts on his and his upside? Because I see a lot of good things in his future as well.
Yeah, Fatu is awesome. I think anybody that watches him in the ring realizes that this guy is special. There's not many people his size that can go out there and do what he does. And it's odd because in many ways, he's not unique in the context of the Samoan family and the Samoan dynasty, if you will. But he is a very, very unique talent when it comes to the things that he can do. And also, he's a great professional wrestler.
Very good. Another guy who was complimentary to you was Jim Cornette. What are your thoughts on Jim Cornette, and did he give you any advice that you've taken to heart?
Yeah, Jim Cornette was, you know, for all the things, good and bad, people say about him, and, you know, there's valid criticisms on her on both sides. If you work with Jim Cornette, you understand why he's been around wrestling for so long, and as long as he has been. You understand why people look at him as one of the gold standards on the microphone and interviews throughout the years. He has a really special way of getting you to kind of believe in yourself and believe in your character and pull that out of you. And I know he's doing work now with NWA, with the NWA and the NWA Power Show. And, you know, I've heard great things about him as an announcer. He you know, great as an announcer in MLW, despite his hatred of some matches. But, you know, nothing but good things to say about the dealings I had with him.
Awesome, awesome.
I drove a truck. I guess my fight too.
You got to drive the truck. Yeah. I can't remember what he calls it. That's awesome.
Yeah, Big Bessie or Big Betty or something.
That's right, yeah. All right. So my final question is basically about where we're at in wrestling right now with MLW on pay-per-view and the great deal they got with beIN Sports, which has just been more successful than I think anybody could have ever hoped for. You mentioned the NWA Power, Impact Tonight starting on Access TV, WWE on Fox, of course, AEW on TNT. So much wrestling to choose from. I mean, even a fan like me is having to... pick a day that I'm not watching wrestling just to desensitize to it. But what is your take on where we are in wrestling right now and what it means for you guys going forward and the popularity of the sport?
Yeah, I have no clue what my take is. You might need to ask me next week, ask me the week after, ask me the week after that, because right now it seems like things are constantly in flux. You know, last week there's this announcement that New Japan USA is starting up as a territory. And, you know, there's loops still being hired in places. There's, you know, decisions about ratings and investors calls this week that everybody's going to have to take a look at in the wrestling business. So I don't really have too many thoughts aside from, you know, it's kind of like wait and see. There's a market out there clearly for wrestling. There's tons of fans, hardcore fans, who are willing to put money into it, much like, you know, video games, sci-fi movies, kind of with technology the way it is now, you can build these large bases of really, really hardcore fans who are starving for, you know, different content. So professional wrestling is not going anywhere, and I think it's going to become even more popular in the context of like live theater and kind of destinations for party goers. I know myself, a lot of times when I go to independent shows, it's a party atmosphere. And I think AEW has done a good job of kind of capturing that as opposed to what you see on WWE. And I really think that that's kind of the way that it's going to move. You know, if you look, like I go to shows here in Vegas, and the feeling and the atmosphere behind them, it differs from show to show, but the ones that are more intimate are the ones that, you know, really catch like a hold of the public. And by involving, you know, the fans through social media, making them part of the show and, you know, making the whole show an experience rather than just you're there to watch, you know, I think that's what's going to really pay dividends. And each company has different opportunities to do that. I know, like, for MLW, I had the opportunity, the chance to do meet and greets before the show. And just getting to meet and greet, you know, with the fans before you wrestle, that's, like, a thing that not everybody gets to do, you know? So,
right.
So different places have different opportunities to kind of grasp a hold. And it's going to be important for them to do that, you know, kind of individually. And carve their own niche.
Absolutely. I tell a lie. This will be my last question, then I promise I'll let you go. It was announced earlier today that MLW had signed a new co-executive producer in Krista Joseph, who many people know best as the creative force behind Lucha Underground, which is a little bit different than what MLW presently is known as. What is your thoughts on that? And do you think it'll change the direction of MLW programming?
I've got to imagine that it would. I would think, and I don't know what the you know, what things are at Chris's disposal, what he is necessarily in charge of. You know, this is a hiring that was done today, but I'm sure there's going to be a different direction as far as promos and vignettes and stuff like that go. And that's the thing about Lucha Underground that, you know, really grasped a hold of a lot of the viewership early on, was that it was like it was different. You know, it was a television show with wrestling, as opposed to a wrestling show or a television show about wrestling, which is what WWE is. You know, so I think it's, and I just talked about this, right? Like, individually, each company is going to have to carve their own niche. They're going to have to grasp onto the fan base in a different way. You know, not. So AEW can't be WWE, MLW can't be AEW, WWE can't be Ring of Honor. You know, there's benefits and downsides to everything there. But what each company needs to do is, you know, like I said, carve its own niche, become individualistic, and, you know, hopefully this is a chance or a move in that direction.
I hope so. All right, Saturday night's the big night. I can't wait to see it on pay-per-view Saturday night, Super Fight. Before I let you go, can I ask for one last favor from you?
Sure.
Do you mind if I ask for a station ID, just saying this is Filthy Tom Lawler, and you're in the Wrestling Epicenter?
Yeah. This is Filthy Tom Lawler, and right now you are in it. You are here. You are in the Wrestling Epicenter.